your Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't remember what day it is. The Labor Day weekend, a little off this week. Matt, Brett here today. Brett, the comic stylings of one Jeff Stein joining us here in a little bit. How's it going for you?
Are you talking about that latest scandal of Mueller and Comey being lovers?
They're lovers. They're sweet, sweet lovers. I don't know if we're going to talk about that. I will say this, though. You know, Trump is easy kind of to figure out. The dude is, whenever things start going horribly wrong for him, he without a doubt always does the same thing. He basically goes on out there and he basically starts a dumpster fire. And so, and that was the whole thing yesterday with all these people with this hand gesture. Now, clearly the woman did the hand gesture, the white power hand gesture at the Kavanaugh hearing because she was told to. She basically gets a call. She checks her phone. She's reading it. And then all of a sudden she puts her hand on their shoulder with the W on the three fingers and the white power sign. And she holds it there because the Kavanaugh the hearings was a carnival. It was a freak show. And so they did this to try to take away some of the heat from Kavanaugh. I'll get to what Leahy did to Kavanaugh today. That was actually pretty – that was a deep cut right there. But, I mean, that's what the point – what he does. He does these things to basically get out there and try to change the narrative when things are looking bad for him. Well, the – you know, today he basically did – it was it the Daily Caller he did an interview with, I think it was – and on the Daily Caller, he basically said, I got tons of pictures of Comey and Mueller kissing and hugging each other. And I'm like, oh, good. Now you're implying they're in a lover's relationship. All right. And that's by design. And that is absolutely by design. That is what this guy does, is that he can't nuance his way out of it. So basically what he just does is he throws an avalanche of crap down the hill and basically hides in the storm. And so – We might get to that. We got a lot of other things to get to as well. That Woodward book. And specifically, I'll tell you what, I'll get to that here in a second. 116 deaths on Minnesota roads between Memorial Day and Labor Day. Am I crazy? That's 52% of all traffic fatalities so far this year and a decrease of 5 deaths in the same period in 2017. That seems high, though. 116? And that's in a 3-month period. But apparently, once again, it's a little bit better than we have done. So there's the good news there. I think it's hard for me because I'm kind of a seasonal purist. We're still in summer until the 21st of September. And frankly, if any of the beaches were still open, thanks a lot, Minnesota. If any of the beaches were still open, I'd go swimming right now. That water is perfectly fine. It's not starting to cool down yet. And yeah, I would be doing it. So it's I know we consider that the summer period, but you know, I'm looking forward to 3 more weeks here of at least calling in summer, and we get into fall. Have you, Brett? Do you have any friends who are trying to push Halloween already on you?
A few who just like the season, but yeah, they're not serious about it.
I've got a few friends who the second it gets past Labor Day. It's all of a sudden skeletons and tombstones and pumpkins and witches. And I'm like, dude, it's September.
Yeah, not to that level.
It's cool in the gang. September. And that's we're not into Halloween yet. And frankly, I can't take 2 months of Halloween. I like Halloween. Halloween's a cool month. When I had kids, that's when I remembered how much I loved Halloween. Is when all of a sudden you're dressing up kids and going there. Oh, that's just great fun. I can't take 2 months of this. I can't. Let me get my apple picking done. I'm going to be doing that before too long. Go see some pretty fall colors. Get far enough into the Gopher football season to give up hope for them going to a decent bowl game. You know, that's only a few weeks at least. Come on, man. Let me get to the end of the September. Gopher fan not happy with Matt today. You know, and so, yeah, just I need to have a little more time here. As we roll into fall,
What about Christmas decorations going up in October, though?
There's a Christmas store over. There's a huge Christmas store over at Mall of America, by the way. And I'm just, you know, it's come on, and don't get me wrong. I'm just at the State Fair, and if you go to the State Fair, one of the things they had this year in the Horticulture Building is they had displays done in. in the theme of one was done in Easter, one was done in Christmas, one was done on Halloween. I mean, that's nice. You're doing a little bit something there. It's there, but it's just this, you know, I understand goth culture, okay? I get you guys. You like the dark, the spiders, the spookiness, horror movies. Get you. Love you. All right. No problem. Stop. In the same sense as I don't think I'm ready for Thanksgiving yet. I don't think I'm ready for Christmas yet. You don't have to give me 2 months of Halloween. Stop. Just for the sanctity of man. I mean, I can only eat so many fun-sized damn candy bars. And you know what happens every time I eat one of these. These aren't fun size. This isn't fun size. This is a travesty.
Got your Valentine's Day candy ready now.
Just stop, man. Don't,
planning ahead for everything.
Don't make me pull out the chutney blue ribbon. Don't make me pull out the chutney blue ribbon from yesterday. Gary is in Minneapolis. He has some things he wants to get to. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, have you seen the news lately, man?
No, not at all.
Higher-ups in the Trump administration, they're there to protect what's left of our democracy from that monster they created. I'd just like to say, what do they expect? We have 30, 40, 50 years of bigoted scapegoating and outright class warfare. People like the Kochs and the Rupert Murdochs hate TV, Trump TV now. They created this monster, you know. It's hard to feel sorry for them that them senators, the Republican senators and House members, they aren't doing a darn thing yet.
Thanks, Gary. Okay. There is a little bit of a war going on out there. Well, I mean, you don't have to look into Washington, D.C., Gary. Have you seen the new game I'm having fun with? What party is your campaign really from? Had a new one. Of course, Dario Anselmo, I've ripped on him. He's run the dude running in Edina. Because if you look at any of his ads, it's, don't call me a Republican. I'm not from Trump's party. Don't vote me out after one term. There's a woman named Cousins. Because school started, and I drove my kid to school today, and I'm driving past these signs of Cousins. They're purple signs, and that was my first catch. Is like purple, and not good purple either. More grimace purple, you know. Is not Prince, more grimace, you know. And so there's your, you know, it could be cool purple, wasn't cool purple. It's no, I don't want to shake. So there's these signs, and so I was like, okay, I'm dropping off my child. I was like, okay, let me pull up their website. I could not find anything on their website that associated with them with the GOP until I got to news stories about her, and it was talking about the GOP Senate district that she was in. And I'm like, wow, that's some stealth. You are hiding it. And it made me wonder, is it really vandalism to actually not tear down any signs, but to find all these Republican political signs and just put the sign, you know, just take some masking tape, one of those thick masking tapes, put it up there with a Sharpie, not blocking anything, just on the side there, and write Republican. I mean, I guess technically I should encourage you not to do that, because technically I think it would be vandalism, but I would sure love to see that court case go forward. How dare he put Republican on my political signs? Doesn't he know I'm trying to hide from this? My God, you heathen. But would you really get into trouble for that if all you did was label the political sign for the Republican as Republican?
It might be a public service to help them out. Maybe they'd thank you.
I don't know. We might have to ask Steve Simon this one. And you know, because I mean, but I guarantee you there'd be some people would be furious if you did.
I just looked at this person. Yeah, it's purple, and I'm a common sense candidate who gets things done.
I'm generic enough for you not to actually question me. No, we question you. Is it vandalism to actually take a Sharpie pen and write Republican on a not covering up any names, not any graffiti, just saying Republican for House, just writing Republican for House on it and a Republican's campaign sign?
I imagine it'd be vandalism, but it would be a silly case to bring up, though, to have them argue.
It would be a fantastic case for them to bring up, wouldn't it? I want to be very careful here. No, don't do that. Do not do that. No, bad. Sit. Good dog. No, I am not saying that. Don't do that. But it would be interesting to see how upset they would get because, let's face it, some of these candidates have spent a heck of a lot of money hiding who exactly they are. They have spent a heck of a lot of money trying to not be show any sign that they're Republican because, let's face it, especially in a district like this is out in Minnetonka, in a district like Minnetonka, in this election cycle, if we're looking at a 20-point swing, a proud R next to your name is a death sentence as far as your campaign goes. You're not going to win anything. You're the party of the train wreck. My God, the chief of staff is calling the president an idiot. The chief of staff! And your guys' whole grand defense, your winning strategy for the GOP in Minnesota is to try to tie anyone to everyone who's a Democrat to allegations against Keith Ellison? That's it? Without thinking that you're not going to have to answer the Trump question? Oh, you remember when he was on that bus and he said he wanted to rape or sexually assault that married woman? Hey, can you show me where your tweet is that was you were just furious about that? Because I can't find it on your Twitter feed. I can't find it on your Facebook feed. You know, so you know, can you just show me where at any time you called out Trump specifically? That is your great white hope, and really with the Republicans, let's face it, it is a great white hope. But that's their great hope. They are desperate to hide from people because they're scared to death. I mean, did you see the Minnesota Department of Revenue today had to actually pass some new rules to allow people if they didn't. The 2018 tax cycle, you were all about to get screwed because the Trump Republicans basically put in rules which were going to increase everyone in Minnesota's taxes dramatically. Why? Because we had to pay for billionaires and trillionaires to get tax cuts. That's why. It's, you know, they can't run as Republicans. And so it's comical when you see someone like Cousins who is desperately trying to hide her party affiliation. Did you see, Brett, did you see it any easier than I? I mean, I actually had to go to news stories on her account before I came
across. I went to a bunch of pages and just did the old control F, type in Republican or GOP, and yeah, nothing was popping up.
Nothing. She's terrified. And is that really the leadership you want? Someone who's terrified of admitting what political party they're part of? No, I don't think so. So maybe can we ask Cousins, should we go around in Minnetonka and write Republican on your campaign signs? We'll just presume it's an oversight. You just screwed up on the printing of the things. We'll just put GOP, proud Republican, go Trump, go, on all your political signs as a service to you. You're welcome.
Dario Anselmo's, yeah. Oh, his website's the same thing, too.
Dear God, vanilla is spicy next to that dude.
Oh, my milk is too spicy.
Oh, God, man. You cowards. Listen to me, Republicans. You're freaking cowards. Come at me.
I got a question. If the 134, I assume, Republicans running for the Minnesota House, what percentage of you think actually admit they're Republicans?
Or, well, no, they admit they're Republicans because you can find it there. But how many of them are hiding the Republican?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah,
how many they're hiding? Well, I got to believe most of them in the metro area. I mean, outside of Sarah Anderson, stuff like that. I mean, there's a few. Sarah Pugh, she might still be admitting it. But I got to believe there's a lot of districts where you can't find GOP endorsed anywhere.
I mean, it's like, 20 or 30.
I'd say 35. 35-40% of all Republicans, probably in the state of Minnesota, Duluth as well. I imagine you're probably seeing the up in the, you know, in some areas, Rochester area. Maybe. 952-946-6205. And as the trade war gets worse, I guarantee you, in more districts, they'll all be sudden burying that Republican. Oh, you loon balls! You're funny. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll give you an update here on Johnny Crazy Tane, a.k.a. Doug Wardlow, Attorney General, and as well, how has Trump still not been thrown out of office by the Republicans? I'll explain that in a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show here on AM 950. With school back in session, thank goodness I have my Toyota Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota in Golden Valley. Seriously, I could not manage my schedule without it. Music lessons, sports practices, school activities, the Sienna is perfect for getting the kiddos to class, hauling instruments and school projects around, or when it's my day to be the team carpool. My Toyota is roomy, comfortable, and has all the safety features I demand for my family. See how a Toyota Sienna can help you tackle your back-to-school schedule. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Guess who called me the other day? You did. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Computer Revolution in Roseville. I want to thank AM950 listeners who called to thank us for supporting the station. So here's an offer exclusive to 950 listeners. Bring your broken computer or cell phone to our Roseville store, say I'm an AM950 listener, and you'll receive $20 off any repair. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. And thanks.
Hi, this is Paul Metza, inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour every weekend on AM 950. We are now in our third year of broadcasting on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. MinPost has called us one of the 22 most independently entertaining and cool radio shows in the Twin Cities. We feature cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states. Every Saturday at 6 p.m., replayed Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Find your place in a community you'll love on the Parade of Homes, starting this Saturday. Learn why new, energy-efficient homes can save thousands on the Green Path Energy Efficiency Tour, sponsored by Xcel Energy. Free guidebooks at a holiday, or plan your tour with our new tour planner at paradeofhomes.org. The Parade of Homes, sponsored by U.S. Bank.
Parade of Homes, where dream homes come true.
I'm John Peterson, and at Ferndale Market, we are proud to provide our free-range turkey to local restaurants and natural food stores. One of our partners since the beginning has been Birchwood Cafe, and we're excited to announce a new partnership product, the Birchwood Turkey Burger Patty. Made from their popular turkey burger recipe, using our antibiotic-free turkey and Birchwood's local and organic ingredients. Put an end to bland turkey burgers. Find this and all our Ferndale turkey products at your local co-op or natural food store. Visit ferndalemarket.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Once again, Jeff Stein joining us here in just a little bit to talk national politics. Salute to Blue Stem Prairie for putting out an interesting story on Attorney General candidate from the Republican Party, from the far, far extreme right Republican Party. Because it's about time. I understand there's been a lot of focus on Ellison, but you need to understand who exactly he's running against. He's running against a guy that represents the most extreme far right of the party, Doug Wardlow. And he basically on Labor Day decided to say, hey, happy Labor Day to the great American worker. Today we celebrate the American worker and honor their many achievements. As Attorney General, I'll always be an ally for Minnesota workers. Vote Wardlow! Wardlow! Anywho. While the grammar of worker with their many achievements is vexing, Hardlow's record is always being an ally of workers with a one-term wonder in the Minnesota House simply is a knee slapper. He, as state representative from Eagan, Wardlow was the author of Where's Wardlow? I love it. Where's Wardlow? He's the author of House File 3009, which would have amended the state constitution to make Minnesota a right-to-work-for-less-money state. The bill went nowhere, even though Wardlow tried his darndest to, in weird moment on the floor, the uptake maneuver to unstall right-to-work fails in the Minnesota House. Dakota County voters in a redrawn district bounced him from office in favor of Lori Halverson in 2012. The St. Paul Union Advocate wrote in Labor 2012, endorsed, Eagan deserves better than Doug Wardlow. In his first term at the Capitol, Wardlow took up anti-worker right-to-work legislation from his personal pet cause, pushing a constitutional amendment on the measure last year, even after leaders of his own party had moved on to other business. Nonetheless, right-to-work legislation is a threat to Minnesota labor, and maybe he will possibly sue if he becomes Attorney General of the state to try to, put right-to-work into place. You know, that's Wardlow. I'm going to say it like that every time. Where's Wardlow?
Oh, there you go.
Where's Wardlow?
I kind of like that, yeah.
Okay. Not everyone's going to be a home run, okay? I work on this stuff on the fly. I'm going to just let you know. Wardlow, He's kooky. He's kooky, kooky, kooky. He is out there, dude. I mean, he really is out there. Just before you say to yourself, I got too many questions about Ellison, realize that this is a very similar to 2016. And that, once again, there are accusations against Keith Ellison. We don't know what exactly happened there. I've made the point that there's a video that exists. Well, then why that video has not been released, I don't know. Now, there was some question on whether the video does exist even anymore, which is another really, okay, interesting side. Needless to say, the entire Republican Party, their entire argument is going to be Ellison, Ellison, Ellison. But reminder, Wardlow is, Yeah, we cannot afford to have him as Attorney General. We cannot afford. That's just a bad call. One thing I wanted to bring up on nationally that is incredibly important for us to point out in regards to the Bob Woodward book that's coming on out, which, in case you haven't paid attention, it's got some doozies in there. And Bob Woodward is, of course, a very respected journalist. He does not publish stuff willy-nilly. He basically dots his I's, crosses his T's. He's very good at what he does. As you can read, by the way, Donald Trump years ago praised Bob Woodward and his reporting.
Oh, by the way, it's two Pulitzer Prizes as well.
Yeah, two. Two. That's a nice get. You got to bookend them. That's where he keeps his highlights magazines in between the two of them. There you go. So Woodward's good. And this book is coming out. It's got tons of amazing, revelations about the chaos that is the Trump White House, from wanting to overthrow the Syrian government and ordering the Secretary of Defense to actually do that, to the use of nicknames. The little rat, did he call? Reince Priebus was little rat. And he called a beer salesman. He called H.R. McMaster beer salesman.
This suit looked like a beer salesman.
Well, it's he might not be wrong on that one. But no, I liked H.R. McMaster. There was one particular one that really kind of said, wait a minute here, and that was Jeff Sessions. Now, there were two things he called Jeff Sessions. The first is mentally retarded. He called Jeff Sessions the insult he was mentally retarded. Now, I would like to think that we are beyond using developmental disabilities as an insult to people, but apparently we're not, because Trump thinks this is good. If you're a Christian right now, how you can be voting and supporting this guy, I don't know, because that's one of the more anti-Christian things I've ever seen. And I go to church pretty much every week. Every week, there are plenty of people, parishioners at my service who are with a family member who might be developmentally disabled, developmentally challenged. And I want you, if you're Christian, I want you to go to your church and sit down and realize that Donald Trump thinks that's an insult, a name-calling insult. That unfortunate use of words. And by the way, he has a history of saying this. And Axios's who is the journalist from Axios has actually backed up that argument, as well as the following one. He called Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General of the United States, a dumb Southerner. Now, you may say to yourself, well, is that really the biggest thing that happened? Yeah, it is. Of all the allegations that were thrown out, that's the one that really exposes the truth about the Republican Party and the Republican voter. If a Democratic president would have ever used the term dumb Southerner, they would have been done. They would have been done. If Barack Obama would have ever referred to a distinguished politician from the South as a dumb Southerner, the impeachment vote would have happened in the House by noon. They would have been run into the Senate, and they would have given him one chance to resign in disgrace before voting him out of office that day. That day. The entire facade about the Trump appeal was that this guy got the working class. He got the Southerners. He got the farmers. He got the rural folk, the people that the salt of the earth, the bread and butter, the blue collar, the dirty hands people. That's what Trump supposedly got. Yesterday, we learned from Woodward's book that it's all a myth. He himself looks down upon all you people. He called Jeff Sessions a dumb Southerner. You should have had your pitchforks and torches. If this really was about disrespecting good old rural country folk, you guys should have had your pitchforks and torches. You should have been storming the White House. You should have been demanding his resignation. But yet, what do you hear from the Republicans? Any outrage? How about from the Southern Republicans? No, none. Dumb Southerner. Why don't you just call him Foghorn Leghorn? Now, wait a minute here. No. Seriously, just call him Foghorn.
I kind of bet he actually has called people a name.
Oh, I guarantee you he's used a lot worse.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. But we know of this. And once again, the entire mantra, the mythos of Trump is this idea that he represents the common folk, the regular guy, the blue collar. He just used as an insult, dumb Southerner. And you guys aren't quiet. You guys don't care about that. That was what you used to justify your vote. But that's not why you did vote for the guy. You didn't vote for the guy because he represented you. You voted for the guy because you fools had been brainwashed into hating Democrats more than you loved your country, your religion, and your own personal well-being. You just use that as the validation, the thinly veiled validation. Well, yesterday, we pulled that veil back, and we exposed you for who you really are. You just hate Democrats, and that's all you do. You just hate Democrats. Because if this really was, you liberals don't get us people, us working class, you find out that, and this has been confirmed now, that he says, dumb Southerner, that should have been it for you. Because everything you based your entire vote on, your justification, your unending faith in this guy, everything you've praised him for, is based on this idea that he's really just salt of the earth like us, and he just proved he's not. And not one of you cowards has the guts to call him out and saying, that's unacceptable. It's unacceptable that it sure as heck is unacceptable to use mental retarded as an insult, and it sure is unacceptable that when he's supposed to represent the common folk, that he's using terms like dumb Southerner. If that was Barack Obama, you would all be demanding his resignation. All of you would. You dang hypocrites. This was never about working class versus the upper class. This was never about country versus rural. This was about you guys getting brainwashed into hating Democrats more than you loved your country, your quality of life, and your religion. And this was the thin veil, the butter sheen they put on the bread to get you guys to go along with it. And you think I'm lying? Whenever I asked you guys if you hated Obama because of the color of his skin, you all said, never, Matt, it's because of deficits. Deficits are the worst thing. Deficits, Matt. It was all deficits. Well, Johnny Orange Boy over there, Mr. Creamsicle himself, has just doubled the budget deficit. And you guys don't say a damn thing. I think I've said enough. 952-946-6205. Stein, when we come back, it's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
Woo, woo, woo.
Stages Theater Company is turning 35 years young, and we invite you to join the celebration. Stages is one of the largest and most respected professional theaters for young audiences in the country, serving over 150,000 individuals annually through opportunities on stage, education classes, workshops, and in-school programs. Our most magnificent season is truly that, built with young people, families, and classrooms in mind, and based on beautiful, imaginative, and inspiring books and stories, encouraging young people to dream big, invent big, and invest in curiosity. Charlotte's Web, Mary Poppins Jr., Hidden Heroes, and Willy Wonka are just a few of the exciting productions we're proud to present in the coming season. Come celebrate the magnificence with us all season long. Visit us at stagestheater.org. That's stagestheater.org.
Your adventures begin at Seaver's Fall Festival. Open every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through October 28th next to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. It's fun for the entire family. For more information and to buy tickets online, visit seaversfallfestival.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. All the restaurants featured this week with the short Labor Day week. Head on over to EatLocalMinnesota.com. Find a great local restaurant. Many of them locally sourced. You get a great local meal. EatLocalMinnesota.com. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, TotallyIowa.com. IowaWatch.org is the fantastic public service show he does down there in Iowa. And, of course, he's joining us from the Palatial Broadcasting Complex of KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hey, Jeff.
Matthew, could you stop sending the Minnesota water into Iowa? You're flooding our rivers.
Hey, that's coming in from the south, man. Blame Texas. That's not us. As a matter of fact, we got hammered pretty good. How bad are things down there right now?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The water that you've gotten is just making its way down in our
river.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, well.
So, yeah, blame Texas as much as you want, my friend, but this is your water that's coming here that leads us to be 7 feet above flood stage in some of our cities. But that's a far cry from the record, so we'll stop that.
Not from the sky. That's Texas. That's not us.
Again, you blame someone else for everything, including – you blame Texas for Ted Cruz. Well, I guess
that's – I think we've got the end of that storyline. All right. So of all the things with Kavanaugh today, Leahy kind of clobbered him. And I don't know – I actually think if the Democrats focus on what Patrick Leahy brought forward, that Kavanaugh might be in trouble. Outside of that, I don't see anything right now that's stopping this Supreme Court seat. But once again – the Democrat claimed that 6 emails from Kavanaugh's time with the George W. Bush White House may contradict testimony Kavanaugh gave while being confirmed for his federal judgeship. According to Leahy, Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley has labeled the emails as committee confidential, meaning they can't be released to the public. But Leahy's brought these out, and it comes back to – it was Orrin Hatch had a staff member – who in 2002 to 2006 was accessing Senate Democrat emails illegally and then feeding them to the White House, primarily to give them the idea of what the Democrats' game plans were going to be in regards to W's judicial nominees. Kavanaugh has insisted very vehemently that he had no idea that these emails were hacked, that he had no knowledge of it. But what Leahy is saying is behind the scenes, there seems to be enough evidence to support that he did indeed perjure himself. That does seem like there's some meat on that bone.
That's what's going to throw the whole thing. And let's take it back one quick step. And this is not to be insensitive, but it is a fact. If John McCain were alive, he would not vote on this because he would be too ill to vote. He did not vote on anything this calendar year, as I think everybody knows. It would have been at best a 50-49 vote. 50 Republicans, 49 Democrats, and you'd have the barest of majorities. If you lost a single Republican, then this nomination fails. By John McCain passing away, by John Kyle being sworn in today, the same John Kyle who was literally the Sherpa for Kavanaugh, you know where that vote's going. So now you're back to the 51-49 cushion for the Republicans in the Senate. They can afford to lose one because ties go to Mike Pence. That changes this whole dynamic from a numbers game. If the Republicans can hold fast, then he gets nominated, and it doesn't matter what the Democrats do. But to your point, if in fact there is something that looks like a contradiction, that you could even begin to whisper the phrase perjury, they're going to run from him like he's on fire. And frankly, the first one to run is going to be Donald Trump, because he's Mr. Loyalty, unless you're not loyal to him, as he'll probably find out even more so going forward. National Enquirer publishers, former attorneys, etc. But going back to Kavanaugh, it looks like Kavanaugh did not play it straight. And you have to remember, he had a whale of a time getting through confirmation hearings to get on the federal bench, as you just mentioned, as a circuit court judge. I think Trump will cut and run. All it'll take is a couple of tweets that says, this is not the guy I thought he was, we need to start over, and boom, that's done. Because, you know, everything, including the control of the Senate, is at issue here.
When you look at Kavanaugh, and when you look at what Leahy did, mm-hmm. Leahy didn't do this necessarily for Kavanaugh. I mean, the Democrats were united against the guy. But yeah. he did this to go after Grassley. Because basically what he did is the best he could without really saying it is, you know this guy's crooked. We've got the emails, which we can't show to anyone. You know it, and I'm calling you out on it. At the end of the day, and your perspective obviously is Grassley's state down there, Chuck Grassley's legacy, whatever he had beforehand, he's going to be remembered for is this circus in these 2 years with Trump up until what happens this election cycle, which I feel the Democrats are going to look pretty good at right now. But this is one of those cases where for whatever reason, his entire legacy, he is willing to bank on Donald Trump and all this stuff. And at the end of the day, he in the long run is going to look horrific at the end of this.
Potentially. And the reason I hesitate is because I have openly disagreed with my U.S. senator on the issue of the Supreme Court. And this is before the Trump era. All right. The fact that Merrick Garland did not get hearings, it seemed to me, was not what I expected of Chuck Grassley. I expected him to say the man deserves hearings and then we can vote him down if we want to. But instead, he took this tact, and this is the quote given to me on the radio. We know that there will not be enough votes to confirm him. So why waste our time with a hearing? Let's spend our time with hearings where we might have agreement. Now, is that not – now, I didn't agree with that at the time, but that was his answer. Is that not prejudging a nominee before you have the hearing? And
yeah.
Is not the very thing that all these Republicans are calling the Democrats out for? I mean, they're saying, well, look, you've said you're not going to vote for him anyway. Why do you need these documents? Okay, that's true, but the point remains you all counted noses ahead of time and said we're not even going to bother with a hearing. And so the fact that this has twisted in this direction where the Republicans are calling out the Democrats for making up their minds before a hearing, that's exactly what they did with Merrick Garland. Whether he was a qualified jurist or not is not the issue. It has to do with the process. And so now you've got a situation where the Democrats are trying to disrupt this hearing. And whether they paid people to come in or not, hey, it's capitalism. I'm fine. You want to pay somebody money to go in and protest? Go ahead. What do I care? You know, I mean, it's one of these matters that I would have liked to have seen Grassley yesterday start the hearing by saying, all of you Democrats who are thinking of running in 2020, line up and we'll let you all go first because it's here's Booker, here's Harris. Okay, great. The whole thing is just why people are so sick of their government. And again – the Republicans should have had hearings in 2016. I don't know that the Democrats staging these disruptions now are going to change.
Well, let's be careful here. We don't know necessarily that the people who are – I mean definitely the line of questioning coming from the people in the on the committee is – the Judiciary Committee is obviously coming from the Democrats.
As is their agreement to try to call for a recess right away. Now, I'm separating the protesters from the politicians.
Well, and the protesters, I mean, like when the Parkland dad came over there, I mean, he said he was going to the thing. I don't think he was going necessarily under the umbrella of the Democratic Party. There's a lot of people that are upset about this. But that's my whole point about Leahy is that regardless of how much you can scream in the back of the room, mm-hmm. the reality is what's going to derail Kavanaugh is what Leahy brought up. Is that, and if the Democrats, I'm sorry, if the Democrats all of a sudden get on every network show for the next 2 days and say, you got a perjury issue here, especially the Senate Judiciary Democrats who have seen these emails, and they just they do like the Pentagon Papers. They just read them out loud. You know, you just put it out there and put Grassley in a corner, put all these other people in the corner. Like you said, Trump all of a sudden starts backing away. That's what's going to derail it. They can scream all they want. They're not going to stop it without some sort of meat on the bone that's going to really stop this Kavanaugh, you know, because there's right now that's the only option I think the Democrats have.
You are 100% correct about that, because, again, if it looks like this fish is going to smell, then they're gone. Mm-hmm. And again, the Democrats, and I think it's acknowledged that the members of the Senate got together and they tried to decide, OK, what do we do? They talked about getting up and walking out in protest, and then you have no quorum. But they decided, no, we'd rather make our point by interrupting and by calling for motions. And again, it is their right to do. I'm separating that from organized protesters. The Parkland father situation, unfortunate on 9 different levels. I'm not saying he was doing anything at the impetus of either political party. Obviously, he's there and gets a ticket into the room, and somebody assisted with that, just like anybody. I mean, this is a hot ticket. You know, how do you get in? Get in because you know somebody. I have to say, I here's where I feel bad for the nominee. I feel bad for the nominee because of the fact that there's no control over the room. You don't know what these protesters are going to do. And security, I think, jumped in on the Parkland Fathers situation, and Kavanaugh probably doesn't even know what's happening. Regardless of all of that, look at what a circus the whole thing has become. And I would dare say it would not be this much of a circus, sorry to bang the drum again, if the Republicans 2 years ago had hearings for Merrick Garland. You wouldn't have the Democrats doing this or feeling that they need to do this to say to their base, this is really important stuff and we're here for you. Because remember, the surveys have shown that in the last election, voters who cared more about the Supreme Court were Republicans, and they turned out more. The Supreme Court has not traditionally been as strong an issue to get Democrats to show up. If this is what it takes to rally the base, that's what these senators are going to do, presidential ambitions notwithstanding, and you can't really blame them for it. You can blame me for just banging into the microphone as I was making a point, and I apologize for that.
Well, and it's interesting. Think Progress had a great article where they actually went after Amy Klobuchar, who went on the Sunday shows and was somewhat apologizing, saying, well, the Democrats shouldn't have held, pushed things through in 2013 and stuff like that. And, you know, I think that one of the things that is a big problem with that, and what Think Progress brought up, is that the first instance of this whole thing where the filibuster was going to get removed was 2005 to get these judicial nominees in for Bush. And basically, even though they didn't get rid of it at that point, the threat was very real that they were going to go nuclear option back then. And it was only that the Democrats, thinking that at some point they were going to go back to the Mr. Smith goes to Washington way of doing things, they went along with it. The reality is this whole case, because the politics behind the judicial branch is so – and it is. It's the politics behind the judicial branch is so important for each individual party that we're never going back. And like, this is what I'm going to say with like Grassley. I mean, any idea that he'll be described about as a senior political statesman and all these things? No, he became a political hack that only used his committee power to basically help his party, not the American people. And that's what his legacy is going to end up being.
I'm not going to go as far as to say that's what his legacy is going to end up being. Now, do we have the potential for that, depending on how some of this plays out going forward? I will grant you that. I will grant you that this is – I don't think the behavior that started with Garland – and again, I keep going back to that because I do think it's related. I don't find that behavior to be consistent with his prior 30 years of service. Now, is that hyper-partisanship at a later time in one's career? Some would say John McCain got pretty, hyper in terms of making his points and not just going along as he, people act differently as they get further on down the career line. I do think that it is not in keeping with what his reputation had been. Mm-hmm. Now, does it blur everything because it's at this point in his career? let's see. Let's see if the Republicans hold the Senate and there's another retirement next year to where a full third of the court in 3 years could have change. Now we're in this is big stuff. And this is why this election is so pivotal, just as the last one was.
And reminder, Grassley didn't even go to the National Archives like he's supposed to and allow the Democrats to get the documents out of there. They rushed this through because, once again, political. He wants this. He wants Kavanaugh in that seat before the next session begins. We'll take
He does, but he had staff members and they got stood up one day too. So, I mean, there's a lot of this that is just unfortunate all around.
Well, and if Durbin read the article, the letter of protest from the National Archives that saying that the Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee never even consulted them, that they should have been consulted on this. I think that speaks volumes right there. And Durbin read that letter of protest from the National Archives into the record today as well. Jeff Stein joining us. We'll take a break. Come on back. Woodward's book. there is an interesting question of how the Republicans haven't completely left Trump at this point. We'll talk about that when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
With school back in session, thank goodness I have my Toyota Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota in Golden Valley. Seriously, I could not manage my schedule without it. Music lessons, sports practices, school activities, the Sienna is perfect for getting the kiddos to class, hauling instruments and school projects around, or when it's my day to be the team carpool. My Toyota is roomy, comfortable, and has all the safety features I demand for my family. See how a Toyota Sienna can help you tackle your back-to-school schedule. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Join over 300,000 Minnesota families by choosing Warner Stelling to be your appliance specialist. Our customers have helped us be very good at selling, installing, and servicing appliances. We work hard to earn your business. Choose Warner Stelling to be your appliance specialist.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hey, I'm 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Programming brought to you by Todd Colin. Of course, Todd is a great listener. He lives in Spain now. He wanted to support the station, so he basically supports us by giving us a donation, and we're very grateful for that. You can, too. If you'd like to support the station, 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. Todd's band, Just Folk, they got the new album coming out in October. You can go onto YouTube. Coma Tonight is one of their songs they've got on YouTube. You can check that out. 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein joining us. Jeff, the Bob Woodward book is it's amazing. I mean, have you know, let's just forget about, you know, there is no point counterpoint that this is just like Obama, only it's Trump and the Republicans. This is a world which we can't even comprehend. The chief of staff is calling him an idiot. The Secretary of Defense calls him a fifth grader. The Woodward book is going to shake that White House to the core.
You have the perfunctory denials, which is what you would expect. But given a couple of things, let's go with just the common sense one. When you see Mad Dog Mattis, when you see the chief of staff, all right, and they're just talking, can't you imagine the quotes imputed to them actually coming out of their mouths. Doesn't that sound like something John Kelly would say?
Yes.
I mean, that's the thing that, first of all, it has the smell of verifiability because it sure sounds like something that those individuals would probably say given their backgrounds. That's point one. Point two, Woodward makes a practice, as do most of us who write books and do interviews. We tape record it, digital. It's not tape, but you know what I mean. We record the interviews. I do it so that it is accurate. Yeah, I know you're saying I'm hauling a reel-to-reel machine around 1975. I don't, although I would love to because it would be so
fun. Those are fun.
They're tremendous. They're just tremendous. Ampex by brand. But the at 3M tape from Minnesota. There you go. No, Woodward records the interviews just like we all do. The interviews are recorded so that you have the evidence and that you get the quotes correct. Now, if I'm interviewing you and you tell me what somebody else says, you might accurately tell me something that I report, but you may be wrong. But that doesn't sound like what's going on here, does it? Mm-hmm. And when you now have – Woodward says, well, I tried to talk to Trump, but his people wouldn't let me. And then Trump's like, well, why didn't I get to talk to him? That plays right into what's being said about let's take that document out of his desk before he signs it about South Korea. Let's save him from himself. It just all rings of veracity, but it's not going to matter if the Republicans control the House and the Senate in November.
I think the most damning thing for him, or should be the most damning thing, is the nicknames or the insults, I should rather say, that he threw at Jeff Sessions. This has also been backed up by Jonathan Swan from Axios. He's also confirmed that these were said. Not only did he use the term mentally retarded, which is beyond any kind of civil tone. I mean, that is just disgusting. And I've scratched my head how Christians can still support this guy. That's another example of why I scratch my head. But the other thing is this tone. He called him a dumb Southerner. How in the world is it in this guy? This guy is supposed to have this mythos with the rural voter. How in the world does that come to light and they don't revolt on him?
Because they have control of the House and the Senate. I mean, that's why I say, and I have talked about this before in other contexts, Republicans want to quote unquote win. And if they have the House and the Senate, they're not going to abandon the president because he's the guy who can sign off. If they lose in November, then it is Katie bar the door because obviously he can't pull them along. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it is understandable in the sense of they don't want an open revolt within their own party because then they're going to have a hard time getting things passed. They're already having a hard time getting things passed. But it's – so when you say why don't they just abandon him, you know, I mean but the thing is that when he called – you know, you're talking about some of these phrases and names. Forget what he says in the book. He says about the same thing on Twitter.
We'll have to stop there. But I will say this. I think that that's going to have repercussions on the voting base. That's for sure.
I agree.
Jeff Stein, once again, books at Common Good Books, totallyiowa.com. I will watch, and of course, we'll put up the Iowa Politics Report later. Jeff, thanks much. We'll talk to you next week.
Be well, sir.
Take care. We've got Doug in next. Have a good one. Till tomorrow. See ya.